living in only one small level of a many-leveled existence. The ancients knew this, although they were not able to perpetuate it in written form in most cases. But they did know that there are things beyond our perception, and that these things can occasionally be brought within our perception, as in the case of the Sibylline oracles, or the Oracle of Trophonius, or the Delphic oracle. Certain vibratory rates communicated to certain persons. Why? Because within themselves, this harmony of relationship has existed. Perhaps it is not obvious where it came from. Perhaps this harmony was established in a previous existence, but it is there. And that type of person is capable, therefore, of a certain pre-knowledge, not of what is going to happen, but a pre-knowledge of what is already happening in the energy fields, but which will gradually come through to the physical. Anxieties, worries, fears, doubts, all these things sometimes represent cracks in the armament which we have built against the world of causes. So we have to find out how to find causes. And the only thing we have to work with is ourselves. And that is why in the ancient mystical systems, a whole series of disciplines were imposed, by means of which the person came ultimately to be able to see through the veil of Isis, to be capable of passing alive into the subjective world of vibratory causes. And we have some reports of this, of such experiences. We have reports of the tremendous universe that opens as we have the capacity to see, and that we suddenly realize that this world with all its wonders and phenomena is nothing in comparison to the unseen that we are surrounded by all the time. This material world is hardly better than a tomb in comparison to the tremendous life that exists in space, a life which can be gradually understood and used to perfect or advance the causes of human need. These energy fields will tell us what morality is if we will obey them. If we begin to recognize the importance of being right, we will begin to recognize how we can use all these forces for the improvement of mankind. We remember the struggles and miseries of Anton Mesmer in his effort to show the use of magnetic healing. Today, magnetic healing is rather well established. Very few people know what magnetism is, but they do know that it produces certain definite results. That's just the beginning of something. The universe around us is an infinitely powerful thing. It has within it the solution to everything conceivable and beyond conception. But it is closed from us because we have only 5 inadequate sensory perceptions with which to explore something that goes on forever. Yet every once in a while something happens that reminds us of this particular situation. We begin to realize that the air around us is not empty. That when we look through and see a mountain in the distance, there might be something between us and the mountain that we can't see. And there is. There is more between us than will ever be seen if we get a better view of the mountain. Because the great fields of energy that are between are beyond our perception. We see nothing there. But the nothing is because we cannot see, and not because there's nothing there. The eyes are the limitation that we have in the search for reality. And these eyes are wonderful things, but they tell us one message, one thing that we can't forget or ignore. The eye can never see anything that is not physical. It can see physical things as tiny as little atoms and molecules. It can go into mathematical formulas which it can't even see. And as long as we deal only with matter, the great mystery eludes us and always will. There is no solution to this world simply in juggling the elements that are here. The world, we've got to outgrow them. We've got to transform them and release higher forms of corrective energy. The only answer, for instance, to war is peace. A piece is a rate of vibration, war is a rate of vibration. Both are in the magnetic field. Until the war vibration is gradually reduced, until it ceases, peace will be not something brought forth. If peace is the normalcy that remains when the abnormal is removed. All things that are objectionable here because they await our changing of them. We have set them up ourselves, we are living under them now, and the only way we can ever escape is to get over them. If we can begin to realize this, we will begin to get a new reason for behaving ourselves. We thought, for instance, that virtue is something that everyone is trying to give us because they wanted to impose on us and we wouldn't fight back. This is not the case at all. All that is necessary to this problem is to realize this one thing, that we live in a universe that is larger than physical, more to it than there is in any material phase of life. Some people have thought of it as an afterlife. They thought of it as a place we go when we die. But heaven is a place we build right here if we get to work on it. We will also find that most of the miseries and mysteries of material existence will fade away when we stop causing them. The answer lies again with ourselves. But we have now three or four religions locked in war. We have the planet suffering as it never has from every type of misfortune that is possible to imagine. And any person who has reasonable intelligence can see exactly why we're in this condition. But the idea of changing it is simply beyond our estimation. It never occurs to us that these things are patterns which will remain until we cure them. Just as we finally found a toxin, a remedy for simple family diseases and toxicities, simply because now that we practically ended the danger and fear of tuberculosis and similar ailments, we have to go out after our metaphysical ailments. We have to go out and find the answers to the mistakes we make in our inner lives as well as on the outer life. When the Rockefeller Foundation put baby fish in the wells and various water tanks down in Central America, the malaria was practically wiped out. Because the fish ate the larva that caused the malaria. Now that's a very simple physical situation. We've got to find something to get at the mental and emotional malarias that we are suffering from. We should be working for solutions, but we do not know just where to start or how to start. But the only way we can start is to know that within the human being himself, there is an infinite capacity to grow. There is a tremendous spiritual asset. There is a tremendous power for good, a vibration we call the human soul, which is a supremely important one, the one that redeems all things. And all redeemers have become part of the great redemption syndrome with which we are all working. Therefore, we have the possibility of discovering within anything we need to know. But we may have to learn to keep the simple rules first. Most of the religions that are now at each other's throats are all bound religiously and spiritually to the doctrine of peace. In other words, we are all supposed to be looking for peace, looking for happiness, looking for good and permanent securities. But instead of working for them, we are consciously and knowingly working against them. Now we hope another generation will come along and wipe it out. It won't. We are thinking that maybe tomorrow we'll get a little better. We won't. We will never get it over with and get down to the facts until we get back to a battle of vibration in which everything has a keynote which must be kept. Everything has relationships by vibration which we call harmony or inharmony. As long as the relations remain inharmonious, we will have the troubles that we have now. Everything that is negative, wrong, destructive must go. The individual who hates must stop hating. The individual who is selfish must stop hoarding. Everything that is wrong must change. Now we'll say it's not going to happen right away. Well, that's probably true. But with most of us, it can happen a little more if we become aware of it and do what we can ourselves to combat this problem rather than just simply living along with it. We can always try to get a greater harmony. Now, by doing it for ourselves, we may not change the course of history, but we will begin to change courses that are constantly annoying us. Old religions all taught that the individual must redeem himself. And he must redeem himself by the acceptance of his moral obligations to his world, his God, and himself. This can be done by each person. It will save many hours of illness if we are able to make these adjustments. And it's time that we try in every way that we can. It is also true that governments have to be built upon integrities. If they're not, these governments will destroy themselves and bring down their own members in ruins. All of these things are cause and effect, but the agency of this cause and effect is not a deity, but a vibratory law. It is something that is the law of cause and effect in terms of a universal energy. There is no need for anyone to administer it, actually, because it is self-administrating. It is there because it is the rule. It is built into the nature of things. It is part of that eternal thing we call life. Life itself is under rule, under law. Life has its supreme rules, and these rules are administered by various organisms which arise out of this substance of life. Each animal has its law. Each flower has its law. Each human being is part of the same rule. All these things have rules. If you keep them, they keep you. If you break them, they break you. There's no need of thinking of a God of vengeance or something that's going to forgive sin. The only forgiveness lies in the correction of the mistake. And that is the thing that has to be done, first of all. Now, we also remember in the matter of rocking the boat that in the course of ages and so on, we have overburdened nearly all of the hygienic facilities of the planet. We have 6 billion people living on an Earth which cannot or does not renew itself as rapidly as its populations increase. We are no longer in the days of Pythagoras or one of the ancients in which the total population of the world was not much more than 200 million. We are no longer in that world. We are no longer in a world where there is infinite land for all. Well, that way we can go out and establish our own areas of life with comparative ease. We can no longer do these things. We are in an Earth pattern that is becoming more and more complicated. Now, why is it becoming more complicated? I think behind the law is also the factor that we don't want to depend upon escape. In the old times, when it got impossible, they all moved. When the old world was too busy, we created the new world. We've gone everywhere, but nearly every inhabitable area is no longer attractive. We've got them overcrowded. We've got them full of their own problems. We cannot walk out of this complex. We cannot escape the traffic. We cannot escape the factories, the fumes, or the smog. These things are part of a congestion that has occurred. The only way we can get out of these things is to reduce the pressure which causes them. One thing is that we now believe that luxuries are necessities. We believe that an individual is entitled to anything that he can pay for. But he doesn't realize that there are things that the earth cannot pay for. That the individual is taxing the facilities of his planet too greatly. That gradually evolution in the case of civilization is simplification. It is not getting to be more and more complicated, but it is to gradually reduce complication so that the individual will have a greater opportunity to grow as a human being. The present rate of change is sacrificing the individual's needs for the luxuries of other people or his own. the time has come when simplification is the only answer. We're going to have to gradually realize that we do not need to be ambitious. We do not need to conquer some other country. We do not need to be multimillionaires. We do not need to own 5 or 6 Rolls-Royce cars or anything of this kind. To us, opulence is success. To nature, cooperation and normalcy are success. Success is peace. Anything that is not peace is not success. And any vibration we set up that is not peaceful will turn on us, ultimately, because it's not supposed to be there. And the whatever negative things we generate in our own lives become problems for us to solve. I think we'll find in this banking crisis that we're just passing through, the fact being coming more and more obvious that the whole concept of a financially dominated world is falling apart. We have been judging for centuries a person not by what he is, but by what he has. Now, this has business is seemingly all right, but if he fails to be something, what he has becomes a further burden upon himself and others. The problem is to find out how to become wealthy without accumulating wealth physically, but to become a person satisfied with what he needs and enjoying the privileges and luxuries of thought and pleasure and peace and goodwill as a development of his hobbies or his vocations, to be useful without being the victim of the tyranny of usage, which is one of our great problems at the moment. We have got to find some answer, because in not too great a time, we will be 7 billion. And in days go come, could be up to 10 billion. But when we reach a point where the vibrations of a collective are greater than the vibratory field of the planet can endure, then something steps in and reduces population. The last of these factors that we have record of was the submergence of Atlantis. But that was one way out. Another way out is the individual gradually adjusting to the population. As our family comes along and founds itself, and they find they have a desire for children, so they have one child. Then maybe they'll have 2 children. But they can gradually determine the number that they can safely educate, take care of, and give the proper privileges of life. It's the same way with the numerical numbers. We are entitled to have just as large a population as we know what to do with, as to how to take care of it, how to realize that every added name or number means that each individual has to give up something. Every child that comes into a family becomes a part of a world family. And as this increases in size, something must happen. Nature cannot increase this much. Heaven cannot get bigger. It's large enough already. But it means that the more there are of us, the more we must work together, the more we must cooperate, the more we must sacrifice our personal, so-called luxuries, to the maintenance of that which is good. This is all clearly set forth by Moore in his Utopia. And the answer to the thing is, moderation is not only the answer to the problem of growth, but it is the answer to the problem of peace, of happiness, of utility. When we become able to express the inner part of our own lives without fear, we shall be a long way along in the problem of civilization, far further, much further along than we are now. So we have to be prepared to settle back and be a moderate little solar system. We'll have to get over the grandeur that made us believe, maybe, that we were the only habitable star in space. And we'll have to get over this idea that we can go on forever inventing things that will save our souls. We will never save a soul by invention. Inventions will give us maybe peace or luxury enough to develop our own souls by our own efforts. But nothing that can be given to us on the outside will guarantee the internal life of the person. This must come from within himself. But he can become capable of being one great big family with everybody getting what there is and enough. There is no reason to doubt that this planet could very well take care of another 6 billion, if no one cheated on the game, if no one took advantage of anybody, if everything was done with reason and with intelligence and with cooperation, if all the aggravations and so forth were simply forgotten, and we realized, as Thales said, we're on the ship, and we've reached a point where we can no longer afford to rock the boat, and we are doing it every day. So virtues become something to do with vibration rather than with just the ordinary morality. We always sort of felt that if we could get away with it, we would escape punishment. But the punishment comes in the vibratory complex that we set up within ourselves. The every temp of it creates a vibratory problem that may be years in solving. Every time we waste energy, we are depriving life of its natural work and the things that it's supposed to do. So I think science must sometime wake up to the fact that the visible is ruled by the invisible, that all the things we see are manifestations of something that we do not see, that the end of our entire circle of growth is to come back again to the realization of the power of the internal over the external. While we continue to struggle to get the external to control the internal, we are in trouble, because the external has no answers. The only thing the external has is questions. The only thing that can answer the questions is the internal, and this we are bitterly neglecting. So as we watch new epidemics and new volcanic eruptions and new tornadoes and fires and explosions, more nuclear testing and all this type of thing, we know that we are making the magnetic field of the Earth sick. We're destroying its utility to cleanse. We are removing from our environment all of the protections which nature has provided. We are allowing ourselves to drift along towards further trouble and disaster. It is not necessary, but we probably do it. Actually, however, man is of a few years and full of troubles, but we won't probably be here so long that all of it will have to be done now. We will have a little rest one of these days. But to go on with our descendants, our children and their children will go on fighting these problems until we realize that the true wisdom is solution. That we are never going to be a civilized people or never be a successful world until we're right. And the moment that we do it right, then we are part of something that is almost always right as far as we can tell. So we can lay the foundations and make a little improvement. And the various mystical movements that are coming into vogue at the present time are all moving along in that direction. But up to the present time, a good many of them are more or less delayed by the fact they're trying to accomplish it all within the area of the physical. They're going to try to change the rules of government. They're going to try to do this. They're going to try to do that. But very few actually are going to try to correct their own faults. They're going to hope that by passing a legislation or by becoming sufficiently numerous, they can correct the mistakes. They cannot correct mistakes by number alone. If the basic rule is wrong, if they have not conquered the difficulty itself, the very revolution to correct the condition will set up a new problem. In other words, if the individual tries to use the old worn-out ways of correcting problems without correcting self, he'll soon have another problem. He will find that he will be exploited by the very groups that he has hoped will help him. Sincerity is absolutely indispensable. The moment the individual's egotism steps in, or avarice comes along, or everything is put on a business basis, something's going to go wrong again. The victory of the soul over the body has to be accomplished. And that victory is actually the victory of peace over war. It is the victory of soul over intellect. And it is the victory of all of that which is internal and eternal over that which is external and temporal. All these things are part of what we learn from the study of magnetism. That everything that is happening is under an inevitable control. That two and two will always make four. And two fighting will always be two fighting. And maybe the two fighting will create one fight. But if enough do it, that one fight will become a ruinous world experience. So we have to will with as best we can with these matters. But instead of thinking and trying to wonder how it has all worked out in nature, let's realize that nature is a source of life. Life is a moral thing. Life is not just a water springing out of the ground. Water is not just dew coming down from heaven. Life is a living organism with rules of its own. To live, we must keep the rules. To grow, we must keep the rules. To have happy and fortunate achievements in all fields of art, music, industry, commerce, everything, the rules must be kept. And the rules are inevitable, irrevocable honesty. The thing must be done the way it was intended to be done. In other words, as one man said, we must do it the way we say we're going to do it. But we must do it, not just say we're going to do it. All these things help us to see that we live in something that we can't escape from, that there's no use of our trying to run away from it. The only thing we can do that's going to help the problem along is to bring harmony into the vibratory fields of nature. We have to find harmony instead of war. We have to find countries arbitrating instead of negotiating for profit. And we have to take the supreme importance of money out of our lives. Money can't get any further than this world. The richest man in the world was never able to take any of it with him. But he can take with him continuously the demand to get it. And the next time he comes around, he'll try again. He's got to cure it in himself as a passion for accumulation to take the place of integrity as a means of establishing a permanent culture. It can't be done that way. It has to be right. And that which is right will win. And it can win against all the mistakes that man ever has made or ever will make. There's no way of escaping the inevitability of right. And all that right is in terms of vibration. The same type of vibration that gives us electricity. The same vibration that comes through the air to us from hundreds of channels that are perfectly distinguished, and we can see the pictures everywhere we go. These vibrations, this great field of vibratory energy, is the most important thing in the world. For it is the custodian of every value that we know. And the most important part of it is that we can corrupt its uses, but we can never corrupt its principles. And in that time, every abuse of energy will be punished by a failure of some type, in which will not accomplish what was hoped. Energy must be used correctly, or it will turn upon an abuser and do unpleasant things to him. Everything has to be right. Every food has to be right. Every religion has to be right. Every science has to be right, or else it will continue to perpetuate the ills that we know. And most of all, it to be right, it must be honest. Honesty is probably the most obvious and tangible rate of vibration that we know that will bring together divided parts and unite them. But altogether, vibration is a tremendous sea of life, ruled by something that is eternal. And if we tune it in correctly, it can give us everything that we need for life. If we abuse it and misuse it, it can bring us the sorrows and pains that seem to be descending on us at the present time. So the thing to do is to use it the best we know and try to know a little better every day how to use it. Thank you.